You see that Yaakov Avinu was not punished for the 14 years extra, the diversion that he took into going to Yeshivas Shem Be'ever. It's mentioned toward the end of last week's Parsha, where it goes to the 14 years from Leidas Yosef, etc. It goes into the idea of what it was, that Yosef HaTzadik was gone for 22 years, Yaakov Avinu was gone for 22 years, there were 14 years extra, he left at the age of 63, he got to Haran at the age of 77, where did he go? He went to Yeshivas Shem Be'ever. So he wasn't punished for going there, and that means that it must have been extremely important for him to have gone there, to go to that yeshiva, even though his father told him, I want you to go get married. Meaning, you have the mitzvah assay of kibud av v'aim, to listen to your father who told you to get married at the age of 63. You'd assume that that would trump any other aspect of going anywhere else. Why in the world would this be so important that you have to take such a diversion? That's number one. Number two, what does it mean he wasn't punished for it? He still wasn't mechabed av v'aim. And I would say even the opposite. For 14 years, he wasn't commanded to do what his parents said. They never told him to go to Yeshiva Shem Be'ever, but they did tell him to go to Lavan. So the fact that he stayed by Lavan for 22 years, he shouldn't be punished for keeping up the aim. He should only be punished for the 14 years. That's what he should be punished for, because those are the years that he didn't do what his parents told him to do. Right? That's the idea. It's really a question, though, of what this yeshiva was.
So his mother told him, Yamim Machadim. Go for a few days. Go for a year.
Well, Yamim could also be years, a few years.
Okay, Achadim years. You want 22. Yeah. So
there's a whole kasha on what the Achadim means, but it's a solid question. It's a solid question. And there's no great answer for it, but Yamim Achadim still can be answered. It's weird. It's like a father going to ask his son to go buy him something on the way. Go buy him something. Since you're going to the store anyway, could you go buy me a fruit? Could you go buy me an apple and go bring it back to me? And the son goes to the store, and on the way to the store, he stops off and Shiva, and he goes and learns for a couple of years, and then comes back 10 years later, and he goes and he gives his father the fruit. I mean, what were you doing? Why wouldn't you have listened to what your father said? You have a chiv of keep it out the aim. How could you have pottered that? That's really the question. The Yeshiva Shem Be'ever. What is Yeshiva Shem Be'ever? Yeah, I haven't said anything yet.
I mean, you had brought down a lot of that you're, if you want to learn, your parents can't stop you from learning.
It depends on what you're doing, and it depends also if you've been learning for 63 years. That will make a major difference. Being 63 will change many of these things. That will definitely change. I mean, Puru Ravu should have been an extremely big chiv here as well. What was he doing? What was he going there for? So there is a difference in the styles of learning in the past in these two different yeshivas. The Avos, what did the Avos teach? Obviously, they didn't have the Torah that we are given. They didn't have anything like that, but they were able to figure out the mitzvos from the world itself. Somehow they were able to figure out through their great chokmah the concepts of Shabbos and Tzitzis and Tefillin or whatever it was that they were able to figure out. They had those types of concepts. Well, what did they teach in their yeshivas? They obviously weren't telling everybody to put on Tefillin or wear Tzitzis. That wasn't what the Talmidim were getting. So what was it they were saying? They concentrated all of their learning upon Emunah and Avodas Hashem. Their belief in what God was, their monotheism, so to speak, and their avoda of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how they served HaKadosh Baruch Hu through Gemilas Chesed, through all the other aspects of life, that's what they did. But there was another aspect to it, and I know this is going to sound strange, because we're talking about Kiruv rabbis. They were the guys who were into the Balei Tshuva. They were completely insulated from the outside world. If you were able to join Avraham Avinu's yeshiva, you had to first get in. That was one thing. That's the whole thing about the tree of Avraham Avinu, where you had to be in the shade of the tree. If the tree gave you shade, then Avraham Avinu took you in, and then you were able to learn in the yeshiva. But if you came in and you did something wrong, you were immediately kicked out. If you came in, you didn't leave until Avraham Avinu died. That was the idea behind it. It wasn't when Yishmael did something wrong. Immediately, Sari Minu says to her husband, kick him out. Now granted, Mitzachek, Mengili, Rai, Shvich, Uzam, Avodah Zarah, those were three major things that Yishmael was doing. But it still meant that the sviva of Avraham Avinu's yeshiva wouldn't allow a person who is doing sins to stay inside that area.
When it seems to sit with Avram's Midas Chesed, where we accept your sinners, okay, come in, you'll do teshuva and you'll stay.
Misplaced Chesed is not Avram Avinu's Chesed. It's Chesed to the people who needed the right time. Now, Bobby, he invited in guests and he let them eat. That wasn't a question, but that's what I meant by the measures with the tree. In order to sit underneath Avram Avinu's tree, the tree had to accept you. What that means is that if they wanted to join Avram Avinu's group, then they had to be in a certain caliber. He wouldn't accept just anybody to be his Eved, to be his Talmidim. That wasn't just Talmidim. to come in, to be able to learn a little bit, and to go out, that he was able to do. But to do more than that, that you couldn't allow. That Avraham Avinu would not allow. And I know that sounds so strange. And I said in the beginning, I know that sounds strange. It sounds like the exact opposite of what you think of Avraham Avinu, but it's not. This is the true chesed that he was there. When the Talmidim left, whenever Talmidim left Avraham Avinu or Yitzchak Avinu or Yaakov Avinu's yeshiva, we never hear from them again. They never pop up again. It's not like all of a sudden we say, oh, there are these monotheists that live in this certain area. That's it. They're gone. Because the whole Torah of the Avos was, when you're in a sheltered environment, you will thrive. When you stay inside the walls of our base measures, you will do great. But when you leave, you've got a major, major issue. Shame, however, lived in a world that was completely different, where everything and everyone was messed up and corrupt. That's the world of Dor HaMabul, with the people around him who were completely corrupt, and he was still able to save himself, granted on the basis of Noach's tzidkus. He was only 100 at the time, but he still was able to save himself and not sin along with the people of his generation. Aver lived during the times of Dor HaPlaga, granted Shem was alive as well during that time, but the Dor HaPlaga during the times of Migdal Babel, the Tower of Babel and everything, and he was able to hold himself back from their evil. He was able to keep himself from being around, meaning even though he was surrounded by the evil people around him, Shem and Aver were able to live and survive in such a world, says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. And that's the line behind it. Now, parenthetically, I would have said the opposite. Just stop. I would have said the exact opposite. I would have said that Shem and Aver lived sheltered from everybody else while Avraham Avinu invited every party in. I would have said that. But that's not how Rabbi Yaakov learns it up. Rabbi Yaakov says that Avraham Avinu was the one who kicked other people out who didn't belong there. And Shem and Aver were out in the world, helping people that were out there in the world, and that's where they were. These are the people that Yaakov Avinu had to go to in order to learn what to do when he was going to be surrounded by a Russia like Laban. The danger was not that he would hate his son-in-law and that he would despise him and cause him to do evil things. The danger was more in the fact that he might be friendly with him. He might be his friend. He might act like somebody who loves him. And Yaakov's going to learn from his ways and become an evil person just like him. Yaakov Avinu has never been around these people before. Yaakov has lived in a sheltered tent of Yitzchak Avinu. Granted there was Esav, but Esav wouldn't be, I would assume, was not around the same tent as Yaakov. I would assume that he was somewhere else. If he was the Yosef Aholim and Esav was the Ish Yodeh Tzayid Yisodeh, I would assume that they weren't together that very often. I would assume also that he wasn't the greatest chavrus in the world, Esav. That he wasn't around at the same time. And that's that. The whole city was into tricking and lying. We learned that from the Medrash, that when Leah was chosen instead of Rachel, that the people went outside the house and started singing, Ole, Ole, Ole. I don't know what song they actually sang, but it's Ole, as in Leah, so that he would realize that they were talking about Leah. The whole city was into trickery and corruption. That's the whole entire city. How was Yaakov Avinu going to live with these people and be unaffected? For this, you need the Torah of Shem to Aver. For this, he understood that his parents wanted him to go get married, but not at the expense of everything that he had learned for the last 63 years. If he goes after Shana Samach Gimel, and after going to Yeshiva for 63 years, and he loses everything, by going to Lavan for a little bit, you immediately go from a yeshiva, like the Mir Yeshiva, and you go straight to Wall Street, and you lose everything in a couple hours. It's not worth it. That, of course, his parents wouldn't agree with. So he felt he had to go to Yeshiva Shem there for 14 years. That was accomplishing exactly what his parents wanted. Muscle. Not like what we said before. To a father who goes up to his son, and he tells him, I want you to go pick out for me a lulav and esrog. And the son goes to the Beis Medrash and learns the halakos of lulavim and esrogim, so that when he goes to the shul, he'll pick out a proper lulav and a proper esrog for his father. That makes sense, because that's part of the mitzvah of kibud av v'aim, and that's what Yaakov Avinu was doing by going to Yeshiva Shem Be'er for 14 years. This also explains, this Rav Yaakov, why he taught Yosef Atzadik. All of these learnings, Rashi tells us in Perek Lamed Gimel, Pasuk Zion, Perek Lamed Zion, Pasuk Gimel, he told Yosef Atzadik the learning that he had learned in Yeshiva Shem Be'er, and he didn't tell it to the other Shvatim. Why wouldn't he tell it to the other Shvatim? Why was he leaving them out to make them jealous, thinking that he was telling Yosef Atzadik more than he was telling all of them? The answer is, we've got an unbelievable answer. Pshat is that he knew through Nevuah that he would be on his own in a very strange land and would need to learn how to deal with that. How to remain a Jew even in a corrupt upsetting land. Yosef HaTzadik, there was through Nevuah, he knew that Yosef HaTzadik was going to be caught. And thus, he taught him specifically, not his brothers, because his brothers, the Shvatim, came down as a group. His brothers came down as a massive group to Mitzrayim. They never came down individually, and therefore, the Torah of Avos was good enough for them. They were able to have the Torah of the Avos. They were able to make a yeshiva Mitzrayim that dealt with the Avos themselves. But he himself, he had to learn Yeshiva Shein De'Eber, meaning Yosef HaTzadik had to have the Yeshiva Shein De'Eber to be able to survive in Mitzrayim. I thought, to add on to Rabbi Yaakov a little bit, one of the Shvatim was left in Mitzrayim on his own. Shimon. Shimon was taken in jail by Yosef as collateral that they would come back and bring back Binyamin. Remember, he took Shimon, he threw them all in jail for 3 days, took them all out, and then said, one of you is going to remain here, and the rest of you is going to get back out. He took Shimon and threw him into jail. Shimon remained in jail in Mitzrayim. Now, granted, he took him out, and he served them like royalty, right? That was something that he did. As soon as the Shvatim left, he picked up Shimon, and treated him like royalty. Shimon hung out with the Mitzrayim all day, and he wasn't prepared for it, because he never learned in Yeshivas Shein Ve'Eber. Maybe that's why Shimon's kids couldn't handle it as well when they went to the Midbar. But as soon as they saw other things out there, because they never learned what it was like in Yeshiva Shein Ve'Eber, they only learned the Torah of the Avos, they were fine. Shimon was fine when he was insulated. But as soon as he got away from the insulation, that's when all of a sudden things went wrong. Maybe that's why Shimon's chilek in Eretz Yisrael is interspersed within Yehuda. He doesn't have his own chilek. He's only within the cities of Yehuda, because Shimon on his own is messed up because of what happened in Mitzrayim. Shimon together with Yehuda can survive. As long as he's with somebody, he'll be able to survive. That's the concept of what it could possibly be. And maybe he didn't learn those proper methods. Maybe that's why it happened to his kids later on. What were you going to say to me?
No, I was just thinking it's a little bit funny that he saw through Nebuah that Yosef was going to be alone in Mitzrayim, and therefore he taught him specifically, but it was because he taught him specifically that affected his being alone in Mitzrayim.
Why couldn't you talk about Yosef?
I wouldn't say. I thought you were going to ask me a different question. If he saw it in Mitzrayim,
why
would he think that he died? Yeah, that's the obvious. That would be the obvious question. Solid question. That's a solid question. I thought that's what you were going to ask. I don't even understand what your question is. I would have said Binyamin's question. That question already, your question, you have to say that he saw something was going to happen and he wasn't sure. It seems weird what he said. As soon as he saw the shirt that was filled with blood, Taruf Taraf Yosef, Yaakov Avinu must have known something, but he wasn't sure. He didn't know what exactly was going on. Chazal say that Taruf Taraf Yosef, he had a Nevuah that Ashes Potiphar was doing something to Yosef, and that he knew that Yosef might fail. There was something going on there. That I can't answer. He had a Nevuah. He knew Yosef would need it. He didn't know what Yosef needed it for. It's a solid question. Your question, I'm not so sure what you're asking. That I'm not so sure.
It's funny, because if Yaakov would not have spent that time specifically with Yosef to teach him one-on-one,
then he wouldn't have been sold down to Mitzrayim. That's what you're trying to say?
Yeah. Not completely yet, because there are other things that affect.
That's what I would have answered back. I would have said, but there were other issues, right? Yosef HaTzadik had still spoken Diva Ra, right? It's spoken Diva Samra. It told over that they were making fun of the Bnei Shaphos, still Avraham Minachai, still with the Arayas, right? There still would have been there. But you're granted, that was one of the issues. The dreams still would have happened. I mean, they still would have been jealous of the dreams. So it wouldn't have been the only aspect of something down in Mitzrayim. But that's what I would say. For your question, it's a solid question.
I have an answer for it, though.
What would we say?
He had an idea that he should be teaching this to Yosef. He didn't know why. He didn't know he was going to be alone by himself for how many years. He felt that this is something he should teach Yosef, or that's why he felt it was
Ben Zikunin or something there.
He felt that he was separate from his brother, so
he knew there was something
that will give him something extra.
He knew there was something. And that's that. Okay, and that's that. Rochel Imenu approaches Yaakov Avinu after being barren for a few years. What an unbelievable line. Okay, he marries, obviously we know, he marries Leah, he marries Rachel. Leah ends up giving birth to 4 kids. Batira Rachel, ki lo yoldo liyakov, it's in Tarek Lamed Pasigal. She saw that she hadn't given birth. Batkani Rachel Bachosa, she had jealousy against her sister. Batomino Yaakov, excuse me, she said to Yaakov, hava livanim, give me children, beam ayin, and if you don't, meitzan, okay, I'm going to die. But Yaakov Rachel, Yaakov got angry at Rachel. What am I, instead of God? Asher money you make pre him that refrained from you to have children? But Tomer, he now must be Bila. And all of a sudden Rachel said, alright, take my maidservant Bila. Take my maidservant Bila. Vesele Dalber Kai, she'll give birth on my knees. Vibanagamanokim, and I'll build myself up from her. What in the world just happened there? What just happened? Rachel was yelling at Yaakov Avinu? How could you refrain me from having kids? Yaakov Avinu says, what? You really think it was me? And Rachel says, all right, take Bilhah. Where was the conversation going with that one? Did anybody see Bilhah being thrown in there at all? What was happening? Yaakov Avinu didn't ask for such a thing. It's a strange thing altogether to say, take my ship, especially if Bilhah was her sister. I mean, we're talking about very, very strange things altogether. What does this mean? Where did it go? So I have a very, very interesting Mashi Loach, the Ishbitzer. Okay, very interesting Mashi Loach. He says the following. When the Avos show that they're upset about something, when they show that they're upset about something, that in and of itself is able to bring Yeshua, a salvation to the world. By getting upset, by getting angry, a salvation can happen, a Yeshua can happen from that anger. Now how so? When a person recognizes what they're missing, what the issue is, what the problem is, what they're missing, what he's lacking to allow this bad thing to happen to him, he can then work on it. He realizes what he has to work on, and right then he'll be able to root it out of him, and he'll be able to fix himself up completely. That's what happens when the Avos get mad. The Avos see that there's something wrong with the person. They point that out and they say, there's a chisaron here. And the chisaron's not in me, it's in you. And when they see that, they realize, you're right, there's something there. What happens is the following. Yaakov Avinu realized he had done nothing wrong. When Rachel Avinu goes up to Yaakov Avinu and says, I don't think I've done anything wrong here. What's the problem? I don't think I have anything. Yaakov Avinu looked at her, did introspection. He looked into himself and he said, is there something that I'm missing? Is there something that I did wrong? Realized there was nothing and got angry at her and said, you didn't do true introspection. It wasn't me. It was you. There's something wrong on your end. There's a concern on your part. So you, Rachel, what do you need to fix up? What's the issue that you need to fix up? And then all of a sudden she realized, what do I have a problem on? But to Kane Rachel Ba'akosa, she had a jealousy of her sister. Well, how do you get over on jealousy? What do you do to get over on jealousy? You have to break that jealousy. If the jealousy is over having another wife, she said, ah, you're right. There was something that I had deep down inside me, although she didn't even realize it. She was jealous of Leah. And she said, the only way for me to break my jealousy is by putting in another woman in my place and willingly giving up my place by Yaakov Avinu. Willingly taking my night and giving it over to another woman. So she said, I'm willing to do that. Obviously, it doesn't happen nowadays. We don't have these halachos. But in the time where you were able to marry more than one woman, that's what Rachel Avinu said. She said, my issue was kina. My issue is jealousy. And because my issue was jealousy, the only way for me to break it is for me to give another wife instead. And that's what she did. That caused the Yeshua. By an av getting angry, that causes the person to realize introspection, there's something wrong with me. Never underestimate anything that the avos and imos have done in the Chumash itself. Never underestimate what they were saying and how they were doing it, even though it seems so strange, got so angry at Rachel. What's he getting angry for? This is a pshat to be able to figure it all out. Sometimes it's hard to figure out exactly what Hashem wants from us at any given time. How would Yaakov know when it was time to leave Laban? He'd been there for 20 years, 14 years working, 7 years for Rachel, which ended up being for Leah, another 7 years to work for Rachel, right? And after that, another 6 years making money on his own. How would he know when it was time to leave? So the Pasuk says an unbelievable thing. At the very, very beginning of the next Pasuk, he says, I'll go through everything in Lamed Aleph, by Yishma Zivrei B'nei Lavan Lamor, he heard the words of the sons of Lavan saying, Lokach Yaakov's Kol Asher Lavinu, Yaakov took everything that belonged to our father, Asher Lavinu also has Kol HaKavrazeh, that which belonged to our father, he made all of this honor, everything came from there. Yaakov always paid attention to conversations. And it's similar to what the Baal Shem Tov said. The Baal Shem Tov once had a conversation with the Toldos Yaakov Yosef. Toldos Yaakov Yosef originally was a misnagid against the Baal Shem Tov completely. But he ended up learning with Baal Shem Tov and decided to become his disciple, his big Talmud. All of the writings that we have of the Baal Shem Tov are based on the Toldos Yaakov Yosef. Everything we have comes from the Toldos Yaakov Yosef. He was the famous Talmud of the Baal Shem Tov. Toldos Yaakov Yosef, when he was learning with him, was one time the Baal Shem Tov said to him, everything that anyone tells you has the ability to make something happen for you. It has the ability to do something good. So anything, whatever anybody tells you, this is what happens. So Toldos Yaakov Yosef, that can't be. Guy came into the office where both the Baal Shem Tov and Toldos Yaakov Yosef were learning. He said, Rebbe, is there anything I can fix today? He was like a handyman. Is there anything I can fix today? The Baal Shem Tov said, no, thank you, I think everything's okay. So he said to him, Rebbe, there's always something to fix. So the Baal Shem Tov said, see? That was a bit of musa that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was sending me from Shemayim. He's telling me that there's always something to fix. Toldos Yaakov Yosef was like, no way. No way. The guy was just saying, do you need anything to fix? It has nothing to do with anything. There's nothing you can learn from it. So he said, the Baal Shem Tov says, you can believe it. You just don't want to. That was the line that he said over to this guy. So the told his Yaakov Yosef ended up leaving. He went out, and he saw that there was some, I don't know if it was a Jew, non-Jew, had a whole wagon overturned with these huge bales of hay. And he's picking them up, these huge bales of hay, and throwing them onto the wagon. They had all spilled out. So he's taking them over there. So he looks over to him, and he says to him, you know, and like, I'm so sorry, I hope everything goes okay. He's like, hey, can you help me? Just help me. If you do it with me, we'll be able to do it together. Told Yaakov Yosef, he's a small guy, looks over at these bales of hay, and he's like, there's no way I'm going to be able to do that. So the guy says, yes, you can, you just don't want to. Exact same word as the Baal Shem Tov. So told Yaakov Yosef, turned around, and he's like, all right, fine. What was that? There's always something going from your stam conversations with normal human beings. If you pay attention, there's signs within everything that everyone says to you. Every single thing, there's something there. So the Baal Shem Tov taught the different people. The Ishbitzer is still, Chassid Shayid, the Mashi Loach, he learned from that line of the Baal Shem Tov, and he said, that's the pshat. When he heard Lavan's children saying, he took everything that belonged to our father, he sat there and he said, what do you mean he took everything that belonged to our father? What, Lavan didn't have any sheep left? Lavan, he gave a whole flock of the sheep. Most of the healthy sheep went over to Lavan. He took a small little flock and he made a huge thing out of his own. What does that mean? He took everything from Lavan. The whole bracha, you guys were only born because Yaakov came to his house. Lavan was maskim to that. Lavan said, God blessed me because of you, says Rashi. I had kids because of you. I had sons because of you. Rashi says that. The children should have known this. All of a sudden they're going so crazy. Yaakov took everything from us. We have nothing left. What does that mean? Says Yaakov. There's a hidden message here. You know what the hidden message is? There's no Kedusha left in Lavan. All the Kedusha that there possibly could be left in Lavan that I'm taking away from him, all the Kedusha is gone. I've got it already. So nothing's left. So all that's left is an evil shell, which is Lavan. That's all that's left. There's nothing good left. So if I stay here, that evil person who has no bracha within him, no good things left within him, might kill me. She said, I can't stay here anymore. I got to get out. So he left. That's exactly what he did. He got up and he left. He knew at that point. That's when the message of HaKadosh Baruch Hu came, and that's the idea behind it. When he told his wife, they all agreed. All the osher, all the riches that we can get from our father, we already took from him. Meaning, referring to all the Kedusha that we could possibly get from him, it's all gone. So the Kedusha is gone. When there's no Kedusha, there's nothing left to go for. So let's get out of here, and that's that. That's that. What's that?
Not so much with Yaakov, but with the story of the song of Yaakov Yosef, is that borderline was not a show.
I don't know. That I don't know. I don't know how Lo Tanachashu works exactly. I've seen the Shulchan Aruch and a little bit of the Shach on Lo Tanachashu, but not anything more about that. What Nichush is exactly. Nichush would be defined as, if a deer crosses my path, I'll go to my left. Right? Maybe it's that you're not making decisions based on that. No, you're getting signs, but you're not making decisions based on it. Somebody tells you something, says, now I'm going to go to the left. Maybe that's not what you do. And we see that there's Nichush in the Torah that's Mutter. Yonasan said, right, if they come up to us, Yaliezer of Avram, we see that there's Nichush that's Mutter. So the question is this Nichush that's us or Nichush that's Mutter? We have to figure out what it is. I'm sorry? It is. There's a Tosus and Tainus. Daf Dalet, I think. Tosus and Tainus goes through it. I don't know which is Mutter. I'm not that halacha guy, unfortunately. So I don't know the difference between it. But it seems that it's not going to be something like that. Okay, I have one more Kedushas lady over here. I got to tell you, this Kedushas lady, it's an awesome one. When Yaakov Yino wants to marry Rachel, right? Yeah, Lavan says the famous line, Tov titiosa lach, mi titiosa le'ish acher. It's better for me to give her to you than to give her to somebody else. Unbelievable line. I'd rather give her to you than anybody else. The question that the Jewish lady asks is, why would Lavan say that? Lavan hated Kadosh people. You would hate somebody like Yaakov, you know. Well, I'd rather marry her off to somebody like you, somebody who's a holy, good person, than somebody else who's a bad person. What do you mean? Of course Lavan wants her to marry a bad person. Why would Lavan want her to marry somebody who's good? How could he have said such a thing? Says the Kadosh lady. Think. Rachel Aminu was such a Kadosh person. That means that whoever she would marry, she would turn into a Kadosh person. Yaakov was such a Kadosh person. Whoever he would marry, he would turn into a Kadosh person. So if Yaakov would marry a Russia, and Rachel would marry a Russia, that would mean that instead of two Kadosh people in the world, there will be four Kadosh people in the world. So there will be way too much Kedusha in the world. So I'd rather give her to you, so there's only two Kadosh people in the world, rather than give her to somebody else, so that there's four Kadosh people in the world. That's what the Chassam Sofer says. That was a great line from the Chassam Sofer. It's a little bit on the side. Okay, Kedusha's lady. Okay, by none of the other avos does it say the line as it does in the very beginning of the parsha. Hinei Hashem nitzav alav. God is standing over him. That's an unbelievable line. By none of the other avos do they have such a vision of watching the malachim go up and down, where he's sitting in the makom of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mavish together with him in everything he does. There's no one like Yaakov Avinu, says the Kedushas Levi. Maybe this is due to the character trait of Yaakov Avinu, how great he was. Yaakov was the greatest, the bechir shev avos, the chosen one of the others, the purification of all the others. Well, Avraham Avinu had Yishmael, Yitzchak Avinu had a little bit of Esav, Yaakov Avinu had no psolus, no sig upagam in his children. He had 12 children that were all tzaddikim. Every single one of them was a tzaddik, and thus he was the Av that's known as Tiferes. Now, I don't like going into spheros. I think all the people that go into spheros that don't know what they're talking about are pieces of garbage. So I don't like doing this sort of stuff. Okay, I don't know what it really means by Chesed, Gevura, and Tiferes. I've been through Tanya, but like superficially, it's not. We can't really understand what it is. I'm going to take the Kedushas Levi's line on this, and I'm not going to go into the other ones. I'm just going to say what he says over here. But it's an unbelievable idea. What is Tiferes? Chesed, we understand. Gevura, we sort of understand. Midat Hadin, doing exactly what God tells you to do. What is Tiferes? The ability to see the beauty of the world and recognize how it all connects back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's like looking at a rainbow, and when you see the rainbow, you say, that is the Kisei HaKavod. That is the beauty of the Kisei HaKavod. That's what it is. Tiferes is finding the beauty in the world and knowing that everything, literally everything, stems back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything Yaakov Avinu ate, everything Yaakov Avinu heard, everything Yaakov Avinu did, he used to find out how that connects back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He was able to say, if he ate a delicious apple, he'd make a bracha on it, eat the apple, and he'd say, who in the world could put the taste in this apple? It has to be HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's nobody else that could do such a thing. He was able to find stuff like that. Maybe that's what he was seeing on this ladder. How everything in this world is involved with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That the malachim are going up and down, that there's malachim everywhere. And that level is called something that he calls Isgalia. It is revealed to us. It's out there in the world, finding God everywhere in the world. Or God is no longer hidden. God is in that Coke. Yeah, I think we knew that to begin with. But God is within every single thing that you have here, and every time you look at something, you can see the beauty of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Maybe that's what it means when we're told by different Sfarim that Yaakov Avinu found his way to the 50th level of learning, the Sha'ar Nun, that no other person in this world was able to get to, that Moshe Rabbeinu was only able to get some Mem tests, he was able to get to the Sha'ar Nun. What does that mean? Because he understood how everything worked in this world, good or bad, and how it all stemmed from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He was able to know that bad turned into good. He was able to see everything as good. And maybe that's why when he told Paro, first time he met him, Paro asked him, what are you doing here? And he said, all my years have been ma'at v'rayim, few and evil. He wasn't answering for himself. That's not what he felt about himself. How could anybody say that? And just think about that for a second. You're meeting someone for the very first time. He says, sheesh, you look really old. What's going on? He's just like, yeah, it's been a hard life. I've only lived 130 years. But it's been ma'at v'rayim. How do you say such a thing? Especially Yaakov Avinu. How could you say so? Because he wasn't saying it for himself. He's saying, in your eyes, Paro, my life has been ma'at v'rayim. That's why you see me as an old person. As a person who looks like he's been through a lot. I know, however, that everything was for the best. I know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was behind everything. And he understood behind it that there was a purpose behind it all. Now, understand another thing over here. How could Yaakov Avinu have seemingly fallen for Rachel Aminu's beauty? He sees Rachel, he's smitten, like Twitter-pated, like all of a sudden, from what? I mean, where in the world did that come from? And Yaakov Avinu, who is such a kadosh, he's 77 years old. We're not talking about anything. He's smitten by the beauty of a possible 5-year-old. That's what that. How does that work? I mean, let's say she was 12. There's my focus, Panoraza, and the Medrash Rabbah. Regardless, I mean, what does that mean? What does that mean? How do you get smitten by beauty? That's not what you look for in a wife. You don't know anything about her. She's just with sheep. And that's it. He's like, oh, that's the wife for me. Well, what does that mean? Isn't that a movie where all of a sudden you see somebody who's beautiful and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, that's it, I'm in love, and that's it, that's that. I'm sorry? There's no question. But there's no question that the Torah is trying to teach us a lesson as well. And the Torah is not trying to teach us a lesson that Yaakov Avinu was a human being. If the Torah is telling us that Yaakov Avinu was, there was something about her beauty that got to him, there's got to be something about her beauty that got to him, and there's something for us to be able to help us in our avodah. What is this? But that was his kedusha. Yaakov Yaakov was able to find the beauty in everything. And when he saw the beauty, he was able to find a Kadosh Baruch Hu within that thing. And when he saw the beauty of Rachel Imenu, he saw beyond the physical beauty and realized that the beauty, the outer beauty that Rachel Imenu had, represented an inner beauty which was so beautiful. It meant that Mamash, the Shechina, rested upon Rachel Imenu. That's what he saw within her. He was able to see such a beautiful spark of Kedusha, of what he was able to raise it to the highest point that he possibly could. That's what he meant by him kissing Rachel. Notice that it says by Yishak Yaakov li Rachel. It doesn't say by Yishak Yaakov Rachel, that Yaakov kissed Rachel. And he kissed Rachel. Doesn't it? Says the word lit Rachel. And we pointed out in previous years the different opinions of what it means by lit Rachel. Now we have another answer. According to Kedushas Levi, we can say by Yishak Yaakov lit Rachel that he caused a neshika. Neshika is the line that a Kadosh Baruch Hu uses when somebody like a big tzaddik dies. Neshika is a connection to a Kadosh Baruch Hu with the Vekas like no other. He was able to connect to a Kadosh Baruch Hu through Rachel. That's by Yishak Yaakov lit Rachel. That the neshika that he had, there was a connection from or through the powers that Rachel had. And he was able to do it by seeing Rachel Imenu. That's what he was able to do, and that's what that Lamed was trying to say. Yosef HaTzadik did the exact same thing. He saw it in Zleika. He saw it in Eishes Potifar. He saw there was something there, a Kedusha, that was an unbelievable amount of Kedusha. I mean, she did raise an orphan. She raised Osnas. There was some Kedusha behind her. And that's what it meant that he went in lasos malachto, literally, says Rashi, according to one opinion. He went in literally to sleep with her. He expected to go in to sleep with her. Now, Chas v'Shalom to say that Yosef HaTzadik Mamish went in to go sleep with her, but that's not it. Yosef HaTzadik saw that Zleika had a beauty to her, unlike the Marshan Sanhedrin in the second parak. But he saw that there was some type of beauty to Zleika. And he saw that it wasn't just an outer beauty, it was an inner beauty. He tried using his father's Midah of Tiferes and using it to be able to raise the Kedusha of Eishes Potifar. To be able to grab that Kedusha out of Eishes Potifar the same way that Yaakov kissed Rachel, he was going to bring out that Kedusha from Zleika. I don't know if it meant to literally by sleeping with her, whatever it was, he was able to find the Kedusha through Tiferes to do that. But there's a problem. To follow in your father's footsteps is one thing. If your midah, however, is something entirely different, Yosef's midah was supposed to be Yisod, which I don't fully understand, but it wasn't Tiferes. If his midah was something different, you're not going to do so well with that midah. So he went in, and he almost failed the test. Came very close, and literally almost failed the test. However, when you use a midah of one of the avos, that av comes and helps you be able to succeed. So what happened when Yosef tried using the Midah of Tiferes with Eishes Potifar? Yaakov Avinu himself, whose Midah was Tiferes, came down in order to help him, in order to help him, and that's what I meant by the appearance of Yaakov Avinu came in from the image of Yaakov Avinu came in front of him, in order to help him pass that test. That's the concept behind it. So to recap on that idea over there, well, let's recap from the beginning. There's a difference in the yeshivas of Shem Be'Aver and the Avos. A major difference between those yeshivas. And Yaakov Avinu needed the yeshiva Shem Be'Aver in order to not be isolated, in order to work out. There's a Yeshua that is caused by an Av's anger. When an Av gets angry, whenever anything happens with the Avos, there's a Yeshua that can happen. There was a sign given to Yaakov from the B'nai Lavan. There was an actual sign given to Yaakov that the B'nai Lavan ended up giving him by telling him that he should leave. That's what he should leave. And Yaakov is the Midah Tiferes, and what that means is his Midah was to find the beauty in things, and that's what he did his entire life. Yosef tried copying it. He almost failed, but when you do a Midah like Tiferes, if you're able to accomplish it completely, then the Av comes and tries to help you, and that's what I meant by the image of Yaakov appears in front of Yosef. We'll stop that, guys. Have a good Shabbos.